G'day everyone, and welcome to Yarns from the Paddock, brought to you by AgForce Queensland. AgForce is a peak organisation representing Queensland rural producers. They exist to ensure the long-term growth, viability, competitiveness and profitability of broadacre industries of cattle, grain, cane, sheep and wool in Queensland. Now, on today's episode, we chat to Georgie Somerset and Mike Guerin. And you can think of today as a bit of an introduction into Season 2 of Yarns Through the Paddock. We touch on some of the relevant issues that are coming up this year and some of the key focuses that AgForce has in mind. So, whether you're on a horse, in the office, or maybe you're sitting in a tractor, this episode's for you. Mike and Georgie, thank you very much for jumping on. This is the Episode 1 of Season 2 of Yarns from the Paddock. It's really exciting stuff with a really exciting and huge year ahead of us. To kick things off, Georgie, what are some of the big issues for the industry that AgForce is taking up for 2024 and why?
Well, apart from launching Season 2 of Yarns from the Paddock, Sam, we need to talk about some of the policy topics. Look, I think one of the really big ones, and I've been saying this for a few months now, I think will be land use and land use planning across regional Queensland and rural Queensland. So our understanding is that about 1 million hectares will be impacted by renewables or transmission lines. What we don't have is a plan for that in relation to ag. So we have some sector plans, we have some regional plans, we have some energy zones, but we are really keen to see a plan that shows the impact on agriculture and how agriculture is included. And so for AgForce, that'll be, you know, we've raised it with the Premier, we continue to raise it with ministers, but we'll also be rolling out some ways that people can actually understand how they can engage effectively, but also ensure that renewables, there is no legislative framework for renewables. So it's important that people actually realise they're entering a commercial negotiation and we want them to feel empowered about how they do that. So a lot around that. Look, I think ESG is not going to go away. We've got issues around the Great Artesian Basin. We'll certainly still have things around vegetation and biosecurity. Those things, as I say, they're almost bread and butter for AgForce. But I'm really excited also about where our Schools to Industry program's going this year, what we're doing with AgCare and AgForce training.
Mike, what are you hearing from members about what they want there from their organisation to represent for them, and how do you bring all that together in what sounds like a critical year for the industry?
Yeah, Sam, Georgie touched on some of the big issues. What I'm hearing from members all over Queensland is they really want to start having their voice heard, Sam, more clearly in some really important conversations. For example, and there are a number of examples, but you know, back in 1995 when we baselined emissions, and since that period, agriculture has been the only industry that has reduced its net emissions profile, yet that's not acknowledged or recognised anywhere. Yeah. And we see more regulation coming in with higher targets and an expectation that agriculture will lead the charge, whether it be land use, as Georgie talked about before, whether it be reef regulations. There are a myriad of issues where what I hear under the topics that Georgie's introduced, there's just a real desire to be heard. We want the next generation to take on the game of agriculture with confidence. We want them to know that some of the things that we need heard are being heard, that we can and do look after our land. We produce food and fibre in a good, clean, environmentally friendly, animal-friendly way. We're some of the best in the world. They just want that story heard. And what we try and do, and what's critical in this year, which is an election year, is to recognise the polls are tightening. So at a state and federal level, the polls are tightening. Maybe this is our opportunity to have our voices heard. So under the AgForce board's leadership, we have, for example, a state conference on the 1st and 2nd of October in Brisbane. Really important we're all there. It's a call to action for the government and the opposition 4 weeks out from the state election. Have our voices heard. Understand what we contribute. That's what I'm hearing, Sam, from members and producers all around the state of Queensland.
So, Georgie, you did mention land use right at the very start, but how do we bring that front and centre to the government? And it is, like Mike just said, it's a very important election year coming up. So how do we do that as AgForce?
Well, I think it's probably, this has been building for some time. So it's probably 2 to 3 years since we first started asking the question about how much land is going to be under renewables. And one of our concerns is that actually nobody can tell us because wind farms, for instance, go straight to the Coordinator General. A solar farm has to go to a local government authority. these negotiations are going on property by property, region by region, and actually nobody knows the full impact of what will be under renewables in the future. And I think it's this lack of planning and lack of coordination that we've been talking about for a couple of years, and we're just trying to ensure that our voice is heard. So it builds. We've been asking that question for a few years. We started to get some answers last year. We've been able to raise it this year with the Premier. We'll continue to raise it, and we'll continue to ask for this plan. So what we do is we back that up with science and good policy. We back it up with our committee work, and we back it up with every meeting that we're in. So there's just this long-form coordinated approach. But then on the ground, the regional managers are starting to run workshops around how to engage with, well, not starting, they did some last year, but they've got some more workshops rolling out soon around how to engage with the renewable company, things to ask. We've been working on biosecurity principles and policies. So there's, as I find in AgForce, no topic is just sort of one face. It's always multifaceted, and there's always a range of things that we need to involve. And it involves everyone from our regional managers and our regional councils right through to the board, so that we've got that coordinated approach through policy and comms and our projects as well.
It is such an important thing. And like, it's good to talk about that, the multifacetedness of AgForce. Like you said, it's just not one thing. They've got to be out there helping the prime producers. And we have talked of land use previously, but it's just a massive topic. And with the renewables push that's happening, I know in my part of the woods, it's a big push having producers, and producers just aren't well equipped. And you can see the real importance that AgForce plays in there, being almost that middle person to help them out with those conversations and pointing them the right way.
And sometimes it's as simple as, I'm going into this project. What do I need to ask from a biosecurity perspective? And we can actually give them those tools. This is what you need. This is some proformas.
Yep.
Then you can decide what you want to do with that. So sometimes it's really small. Sometimes it's the big pieces about, we're actually not happy about what's happening. Can you work with us on that? And that's what I find. The other thing I find with our members is they're really great litmus tests, because you start to get these phone calls, and Mike says, you know, I've had 4 phone calls in a week about this.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to build momentum, because members ring us, and we love that they start to, they call us and they start the ball rolling around topics and issues.
Mike, you did talk about this before, but I just want to touch on it again. The Premier recently announced some of the strong emission targets to be put into law in Queensland. How to ensure agriculture is treated correctly in the transition, and that we ensure that producers are not burdened with more green tape, that our communities can look ahead with confidence in the wider climate and environmental conversations?
Yeah, really great question, Sam, and one that sits at the heart of a lot of what we do. Indeed, just a few weeks ago, I was invited to stand beside the Premier at what turned out to be his announcement and tabling of a bill to put even stronger emissions targets into Queensland under law, and the start of a process that'll take that through the Parliament and it be considered where we go. At the heart, Sam, of it, we have to be at every conversation. That's what AgForce does. It provides a united voice and represents a voice that's not strong enough in a singular sense, but collectively can be strong enough. We have to be at every conversation. Interestingly enough, that day I got invited down to the Premier's office in Parliament, and he tabled the bill, and then we all trotted off for a bit of lunch and a chat. It turned out there were 20-something green groups invited to lunch, and as far as I could see, we were the only industry group in the room. Really important. If we weren't in the room, we'd have no say on what is a bill, and it's got to go all the way through the committee process. No influence on an understanding of the background that they don't have, those that put the legislation together in its current format. I, for example, talked about what we touched on earlier. I said to some of the green groups in the room, did you know that agriculture has been the only industry to drop its net emissions profile since 95? They started by saying, I'm sure that's rubbish. And I said, well, it's in the national accounts. It's not a debate. It's fact. It's in the national accounts. We can see it. You want to go and have a look at it. And then I carried the conversation on and I said, so what's behind that? And they didn't know. We started that conversation. We have to be there. We have a great example of how we did it well and we got a better outcome than we would have otherwise. And that's what's called the low emissions pathway, where we were lucky enough to have Georgie and the minister stand side by side, or government and AgForce stand side by side, and announce a low emissions pathway. But what sat behind that, to your question in this conversation, was 2 years worth of hard work, where we sat in a committee considering the low emissions pathway. And in the first meeting, Again, it was a number of groups that didn't understand agriculture and AgForce. And the first meeting was, we are not going to get the change we need unless we regulate. The cold, hard reality is, if we don't regulate and have a hard instrument at this, we'll find reasons not to do it. At the end of 2 years of industry being in the room, and AgForce specifically being in the room, we had a low emissions pathway, which, while not perfect, does not consider targets and does not consider legislating targets. It talks about working together through a real challenge and the part that agriculture has to play. So to me, a great example, and the answer to your question is, there's no short-term quick fixes.
No.
Jumping up down the newspaper by itself doesn't work. You've got to be in the room. AgForce is in the room. You've got to be there for every conversation. You've got to be brave enough to have the tough conversations. You've got to have the data behind you, which members provide us all the time through the committee process. That's the way we make progress. It's frustratingly slow, but it's actually very effective when you do it well. And that's the way we tackle this issue.
And Sam, I think one of the things that's hard to communicate is that sometimes our deepest and most powerful work avoids a perverse outcome, but that doesn't get a headline because we don't get the perverse outcome and everyone's not having to jump up and down. We actually offset it before it happened and we get an outcome that's more positive for industry. As Mike said, it might not be perfect, but it's a whole lot better than what was planned when we started the process. And that won't get on the front page because we headed it off. So it's a classic thing, you know, if you block one beast and bring it back to the mob, you keep the mob together. If you wait until half the mob are away, you're going to have a whole lot of problems swinging them back. And it's a bit the same. If you let government get a headwind and get away from you and set their own targets, it's very difficult to bring it back because you're dealing with it once it's in the public arena. If we can actually be, and people hear me talk about being in the room and being around the table, it really is about, you know, it's like dealing with the first weed in the crop. It's like dealing with that first breakaway. You get onto it early, you deal with it, and you have a good outcome, and everyone gets back to the yards or gets that weed dealt with safely. And you're not all out there flogging yourselves trying to bring the mob back together.
Georgie, with term limits, you'll step down as AgForce General President later this year. And you're the first president to ever do 6 years. Congratulations, one. But what are the things you're most proud of in your term and what do you hope you'll be remembered for?
Thanks, Sam. It's been an enormous privilege to lead AgForce, and I've got to say, with 10 months ahead of me, you do start to get that sense of urgency that, heck, what else do I need, Mike, to actually get done before the end of the year? but I'm incredibly proud of the things we've done over the last 6 years. I mean, when I look at things, we've got the Young Producers Council, we've reinvigorated AgForce training, and, you know, that will really start to ramp up this year. We've secured funding for the Schools to Industry Partnership Program, and we're going to expand our community engagement. So some of those things that are outreaching and supporting. But I also feel like we've really strengthened our own governance. So when I came in, we were only a couple of years into being a not-for-profit. We were still working our way through. We've introduced another commodity with cane, so we've now got four commodities. And I feel like we, as an internal organisation, are really growing our own people. So we've had promotion of staff throughout the organisation. We've got young people that have come to work for us that are now full-time from working part-time as uni students. So we have we're attracting young people to come and be part of the policy team. You know, change is never easy, but I feel like the organisation has gone through significant change in the last 10 years, and I'm very excited about the future because we've got a strong seat at the NFF table. We've got a seat with the young producers at a national level. We've got our young producers kicking goals and got their first policy through. But our commodity boards are also really strong. They've got strong leadership. And as I say, it's like an orchestra. Every instrument has a role to play. And as a chair of a board, for me, it's about trying to bring out the best in all of those instruments so that we get the best tune possible. And I'm excited about what's ahead for AgForce. I think there's some really strong leadership, and it's been a privilege to have my time leading it. And I've got another 10 months where I need to work hard and get some of those things finished.
What would you say to someone coming in looking up at you in your position now?
Oh, look, I think people need to get involved and have a go. You know, there'll be people around that remember when I first ran for president and I wasn't successful, but, you know, I could have gone back to the back paddock and not come back. But I came back and I did 4 years as vice president and then stepped up. But, you know, I just say get involved, turn up, find the bit that excites you. There are so many facets to AgForce that there will be a way that you can get involved. If you want to go and talk to school students, you know, you can get involved. If you want to be deeply involved in policy and science, there's a committee for you. If you want to help connect people to other people, there'll be a way you can do that in the regional level. So I think it's about having the courage to actually turn up and step up. And I hope that we can make it easier for people to get involved and be part of it and feel supported in whatever role they're in, both electeds and staff, right across the organisation.
Mike, hearing from Georgie just then, what are some of your own reflections on the last 6 years under Georgie?
Oh, the first thing to say is Georgie's exactly right. She's putting an enormous pressure on her CEO for the last 10 months to get all the things delivered she'd like delivered. And indeed, I worked under Grant Morsley for a short time where the same thing happened. But can I acknowledge Georgie, but also all electeds that make AgForce possible? I reflect a number of years ago now when I was thinking about putting my hat in for the role I now have the privilege of holding, and I rang a few characters I knew in Queensland for to talk about it, and they said AgForce is unique. It's a powerful organisation, and at its foundation are some people who give incredibly of their time and intellect for the benefit of industry, not for themselves. They have their home business to run, they have families at various stages, but they commit an enormous amount of time, and that's what holds AgForce together. And I can only say, after having worked here for a while, that's exactly the case. It is a very, very unique organisation. It is unique in Australia. The other SFOs don't have that powerful foundation. We have 30-something staff and around 120 electeds at any one time. That's the foundation of AgForce. But I would like to finish just with acknowledgement of Georgie. Georgie is an incredibly powerful leader, in my opinion. I've bumped into Georgie a few times over the years, but haven't worked directly for her for 6 years in a row. I can promise every member she extracts maximum benefit from everybody, including me. There are many powerful stories I could tell about Georgie, but she's been a fantastic leader, a wonderful person to work for, an inspiration to members and to staff. And she won't be sorely missed because she'll remain a member and knowing Georgie actively involved in some way or other.
Thank you. Kind words, but I just do want to touch on how you are thinking about that transition later on the year. And for those like unaware and not aware of the nitty-gritties, how does that work?
So we'll hold an election during the year, and like every election, roles are up and members can put their names forward, and that includes for the general presidency. And indeed, last time there was two people put their names up for general president, so it goes to an election by the members. So there's a great system in there to allow people to have a go, members to reflect their views on that, and decisions to be made. And then we go forward. We have a huge number of volunteers. I often get conversations about, gosh, how could we ever replace Georgie? And I sort of understand that with Georgie's shaking the head, but I do sort of understand it. Georgie has been a powerful leader, but there's always the next one.
Yeah.
And one of the things Georgie does really well, in my view, is just push and cajole and prod the young people that think, I'm not ready, and say, garbage, you're not ready. Look at Georgie's story. She did some amazing things early on. So young people, don't be afraid of having a go. I look at some of the young people coming through the commodities, some of the young people that went on to the YPC and going on other things. I look about the next generation taking over. I hear Georgie talk about it in her own business, about the succession planning and where they're at with it. Have confidence in your industry. Have confidence in your organisation. Put your name forward. And I don't believe we'll have a challenge this year replacing Georgie in the general president's role, and Georgie will remain a strong member of AgForce. I just encourage people to have the conversations, think about the election, engage in your organisation's process, and we'll have a new general president in October that has big shoes to fill, but will take AgForce forward in the way AgForce goes.
And I think, Sam, the most important thing with the elections is that all the positions are open. Yep. So if people have got a burning desire to get involved and they just want to take that first step, think about their regional council, think about their commodity board, you know, get involved in some way. AgForce supports you to learn about governance. There's a framework there. There are people with a whole lot of wisdom who are really keen to pass that on. The generosity of our elected members to support people who are coming in new is phenomenal. And so I just really encourage people to, A, be a member of AgForce. It is one of the greatest risk management strategies you can have in your business. 23 submissions in the 22-23 financial year. That's nearly two a month. Mm. You know, no one business can do those submissions on their own. You're just investing in some security for your business that agriculture will be protected. So be a member, step up. And if you're keen to get involved, then think about this year as being a year when you put your hand forward and say, I want to be involved in some way in my organisation.
Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Yarns from the Paddock, brought to you by AgForce Queensland. Now, throughout the episode, you would have heard some of the reasons why it's important to join AgForce and become a member. So if you're wanting to do so, just Google AgForce Queensland and head over to the membership tab and you'll find all information there. If not, you can give the head office a call on 07 32 36 3100. Have a great day.